Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Hall. My guest today is Ettore Nicoletto. Ettore is the CEO of the Santa Margherita Group in Veneto in northeast Italy. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is one of Italy's most important wine groups.
Yes, we are. We are in the private sector, at least.
So is it family-owned or shareholders?
It's family-owned. The Mazzotto family owns this business, they've been... owning this business for four generations and for over 83 years. So it's a long history.
So when I worked in my first wine shop in the 1990s, we stocked Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio, which has had an incredible success. What's the story of that particular wine, and why is it so important for the group?
Well, it's an incredible story because it is a story of process innovation and also product innovation. Basically, we tried a new experimentation with Pinot Grigio grapes by vinifying the grapes off the skin, or the wine off the skin, and we obtained a wine that created a totally new category in the white wine business back in the 60s. And since the 60s, the Pinot Grigio has been a phenomenal success, not only in Italy, but also all around the world. And most of the producers and most winemaking districts all around the world tried to grow Pinot Grigio grapes, and they make it a success themselves. So we put Pinot Grigio on the map, so to speak.
Yeah, it's almost like a brand, isn't it, Pinot Grigio?
Yeah, I think all around the world, Santa Margherita is synonymous with Pinot Grigio and vice versa, I would say. We're very proud of this.
Okay, so in terms of the size of the company as a whole, how big are you in Italy in terms of either vineyards or sales?
We are pretty much in the top 10, but, you know, the size is not... as important as performance and profitability. So we rank number 9 or 10, but it's a classification that does not excite us much. We are going to close 2018 turnover-wise at about 180 million euros. Total production will be at about 22 million bottles obtained from six different regions of Italy, because one of the things that makes Santa Margherita important in the winemaking business in Italy is the representation of different geographies. And we are in the most renowned areas of Italy for the wine growing. So from the Veneto to Franciacorta, Alto Adige, Central Italy in Tuscany with Chianti Classico and Maremma. I forgot Lugana in Lombardy and Veneto.
So that's one of the recent acquisitions, isn't it, Lugana?
Lugana is one of the most recent acquisitions, together with a winery in Sardinia. You have to know, or you will probably know, that we have a white wine DNA. So we are very much attracted by areas where fine white wines are produced.
The Lugano is one of Italy's most famous white wines, even though it's not a huge region. It has the wine sell for quite good prices, yeah?
It is a very interesting profile as a wine. I believe that Lugano has the characteristics to become the new Pinot Grigio. The Pinot Grigio of the future, easy to drink, easy to combine with food, easy to approach. So, an easy wine, but it's still yet a complex wine. And so we have great expectations from Lugana.
And Sardinia, you're working with mainly Vermentino, is that
Sardinia,
right?
Sardinia for us is Vermentino, but we were looking for Vermentino in Sardinia, and then we discovered Carignano, which is a fantastic red grape. So it's you know, when you look for new territories, new wineries, it's about discovering.
And it's interesting what you talk about Carignan, because it's a real underdog of a grape.
Yes.
I've worked with Carignan and Roussillon. I'm a big fan of Carignan. I made a Carignan wine in Roussillon, honestly. And some critics really don't like it. But for me, what you're doing with Carignan is very, very interesting, that a big company can pick an underdog like that and do something with it. So what is your marketing approach for a grape variety like that many people may not know about much about?
Talking about Carignan, you have to speak about the territory first. You have to talk about Sardinia, talk about the climate characteristics of the area and the special site of our vineyards that are situated in the southwest of the region. And then you have to talk about the wine, the strong fruitiness, the roundness of the wine, the authenticity, and you know, the fact that and this is one of the things I like about Carignano, is that it doesn't need wood to express itself. Of course, you can use a touch of wood, but the wine doesn't need much wood to make a statement.
Is that saying something about trends at the moment? There has been that trend amongst consumers to try and find easier drinking wines, wines by the glass, wines that haven't had huge amounts of oak added to them.
No,
so Pinot Grigio is generally an un-oak wine. Lugana can have oak, but it's not like a really oaky wine. You're talking about Carignan as well. Is that the trend that you're identifying then?
Well, you know, for sure there is a trend. Less oak, less oak fermentation. This has been happening for quite a while. I should say that in certain areas of the world, you see a sort of comeback to wood, so it's controversial. But you know, from our observation point, especially because our style, the style we try to impart on wine, is I wouldn't say an easy, but a food-friendly style. So a wine must be very pleasant and easy to match with food. Oak and wood in general is not the tool that we use heavily. Of course, red wines sometimes need either small barrels or oak or casks. But in general, we try to make the wine express itself without a high degree of wood to it.
Are we going to see you buy a Brunello estate then at some stage? You're talking about wood, the wine that spends its career in wood.
Brunello is a fantastic appellation. I would be a liar if I said that we haven't explored opportunities there. We haven't seen yet the turn of the friendly card yet. But for sure, it is something that we would like to see in our portfolio wine down the road. And of course, in the case of Brunello, wood is essential to the making of a good Brunello.
So you mentioned also Chianti Classico. That's a wine I think is really coming back strongly in terms of quality and in terms of the way it's being marketed, sort of communal, not appellations, but really breaking the terroir down. What's your situation like in Chianti Classico then?
Well, in Chianti Classico we are well equipped. We have two estates. We are very proud of especially one of them, which is Lano di Gramole, which is situated 600 meters above the sea level. So it's a kind of heroic vine growing. We are happy because we are able to produce elegance.
So it's a very sandy soil, isn't it? High altitude sand. It's a unique, it really is a unique place.
It's a unique terroir. We are fully organic. And we make splendid Chianti Classicos, multi-awarded, and again, easy to combine, to match with food, which is extremely important. So you have acidity, you have tannins, soft tannins, but you have tannins. You have a wine which is very lively, still robust, but not particularly muscular.
This is a very difficult question to answer in two words, but if anybody can do it, you can. How different is the approach when selling wine in Italy to Italians and, say, America or the rest of Europe? Is it you have to do a big mindset switch when you're selling?
No, not really. The difference, I believe, lies in the fact that in Italy you can do direct consumer. So it's easy if you're able to communicate the characteristics, the features of a wine. Whereas in the United States you have the three-tier system in most cases, and that makes it very difficult to communicate a wine. The story behind the wine, the heritage, the winery, the terroir. So it's difficult to make a consumer travel without, being able to talk to him. And we have too many tiers before getting to the consumer that it is very difficult to create a solid and an effective communication in the United States. But things may change. You know, direct to consumer is gathering speed in America. It has reached a significant value in against the old market value on and off premise. So I feel that in future we may be able to establish a stronger contact with consumers also in America.
Have you ever considered getting your own base in America, say like an environment to mention, Zonin, for example?
Well, we already have our own operation, our import operation in America, which is doing very well.
Is that based in just one state or is it national?
Our headquarters are in in Miami,
okay,
in Florida. But we have 40 district managers and regional managers scattered all around the territory, all around the United States. And we do a very nice job on behalf of our brands, the group's brands. The future, in my opinion, is a winery in America. Will it be in Napa? Will it be in Washington State or in Oregon? I don't know. But we are seriously looking into opportunities because, again, having a winery situated in the United States can give you access to the DTC business, which is something we believe will become a big slice of the pie in the commerce of wine in America in the future.
Do you think having your own base in America also makes American critics take you more seriously, or do you not think that's important?
I don't know. I think we were serious before. We are still serious. Nothing has changed. The advantage that we see is that we are closer to the market. We speak to our distributors. We spend time with them.
You used to like staff training, sales training?
A lot. We have people fully dedicated to do education, staff training, which is key. It is key because otherwise we will be equal to the others. We want to show the differences. We want to make a difference, and we ought to speak about our wines in detail. We want the distributors and the consumers to understand why Santa Margherita wine groups are different and better.
I know you're a very keen golfer. How tall are you?
I'm 197 centimeters, close to 2 meters.
So you were previously a professional basketball player?
No, I was a volleyball.
You were?
Yeah, a volleyball player.
Really?
Not professional, but I played well. I still can play well.
Okay, so, when you were younger, when you were small, did you ever envisage yourself getting to where you are now, or did you have a completely different thought for your potential career?
Not really. I wanted to be a medical doctor, so quite a different job. But
why was that? Were your parents in the medical profession?
I was just passionate about that. You know, I still am. You know, the guy who tries to cure you or to give you the antibiotics, the something for your allergy. It's something that is part of me.
So that obviously the kind of diet aspect is quite key to you in terms of. I mean, how do you see the play now on wine as part of a healthy diet? Is that a big thing or not really?
Well, I think wine, if drunk in moderation, is part of your daily diet. I drink wine every day. Sometimes, but just because of my profession, you tend to exceed. But as long as you're not driving, and you can,
one of your hobbies is driving motorbikes.
Yeah. But no longer, because you know I used to participate in international motorbike races.
You really? You represented Italy, did you?
I represented Italy,
oh,
yes.
Amazing.
It was in the 80s, though, you know, quite a long time ago. But that was my most important sport when I was younger.
Did you have you are incredibly tall. Did you have a special bike? Or?
No, just some arrangements to make it easier to ride, but no special arrangements. I had some talent. I must.
So you're multi-talented guy. I mean, it's a personal question about your kids. I mean, do you let them get on with it, or are you behind them saying, "Come on, push yourself"?
No. They are free. I have one daughter, 15 years old. She plays golf with me. She never plays golf with me though, because she
knows that you always want to win, right?
No, but it's not. It's just she feels the pressure, but I don't put pressure, so it's just must be my face.
So what do you like with the staff though? I mean, you know, sometimes we think, you know, CEOs of companies are just always on people's cases. They're always behind them. How do you manage people?
Well, I don't think I manage by terror. I can be intense. But I think I'm an easy leader as a CEO. I try to involve people, and most important, I try tell people why I'm asking something. I'm not simply asking, do this. I'm asking, please do this, but I explain to them why I'm asking that. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time.
Okay. I mean, do you enjoy being the CEO of such an enormous company with the pressure? Do you thrive on that? Or do you wake up sometimes and think, God, this is such a big ship I'm driving. It's beyond me, all these the multinational company that you are.
Let's face it, I like the thrill of doing this job. If I didn't, probably I wouldn't be here because it's complex, it's challenging.
So speaking of challenges, climate change is a big one. How are you dealing with that?
It is a big challenge. It is a big challenge, and I think it's a little undervalued, underestimated by the industry in general. We're trying to buy land on hills. We're trying to encourage and to increase or incentivize, the growing of vines at higher altitude in Alto Adige, in Franciacorta.
But doesn't that impose extra cost, though? I mean, obviously
it does, absolutely. But it's a change we have to adapt to. And if it is more costly, we'll have to live with it. But it's happening.
Yeah,
we can tell, we can taste it. It's happening, and we have to be smart to learn how to deal with it.
So even though it must be quite a brave decision buying a vineyard not so long ago in Sardinia. So you're really looking everywhere. You're keeping your options open, hotter climate areas and also cooler climate areas in the north.
Yeah, you have to balance your
portfolio.
Your vineyard holdings. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, Ettore Nicoletto, CEO of the Santa Margherita Group. Really nice to talk to you. Great conversation. Golf, wine, we've been around the world a little bit. Climate change, meteorology, and motorcycle riding. It's
wow.
Great. I mean, for a besuited, very smart CEO, you're actually quite a groovy guy. Yeah, I thought you'd just be, oh, my big shot CEO.
Thank you. Know, next time we will come with a T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, just wear some shorts, though. That's, otherwise you'll get arrested where we are.
Yeah.
So, people might start asking you questions. Ettore, really nice to meet you.
Thank
great
you.
Stuff. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grazie.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.